You're listening to Penny Johnston with ABC Baby Talk Podcast.
Perth is one of the world's most isolated capital cities, something that can sometimes be seen as a disadvantage. But for medical researchers based at the University of Western Australia, this has been a massive asset for the study of one of the most dangerous complications for children born in Australia, that is preterm or premature birth. Preterm births are known to be the biggest cause of death and disability in children under the age of 5 born in the Western world. 8% of babies in Australia are born too soon. It's a huge problem for our obstetricians and our medical community. But as you can imagine, it's a great source of pain and anguish for many Australian families. Professor John Newnham is Professor of Obstetrics at the University of Western Australia, and he believes that after many, many years of research in Perth, his team might be able to claim they have come up with the solution to solving preterm births. But first, let's hear from Professor Newnham about how dangerous premature birth is for babies here in Australia.
Well, preterm birth, which is defined as birth before 37 completed weeks of pregnancy, is the single greatest problem in human reproduction in Australia and the developed world. Our incidence is about 8% or so, so about 1 in 12 overall of Australian babies are born too early. It's the single greatest cause of death and disability in children up to 5 years of age in the developed world. And until now, the idea of preventing it has just been a researcher's dream, but we think it now may be becoming a clinical reality.
That's wonderful, because I guess if we go back not so very far into our history, these babies never survived.
No, correct. So when I was a medical student, these were called low birth weight babies or late miscarriage babies, and it was not a major medical issue. They didn't survive. And then during the sort of the 70s, 80s and 90s, neonatal intensive care came of age. That's care of very, very early preterm babies. And the world of obstetrics, the world of caring for pregnant women, has had a difficult challenge discovering how to prevent preterm birth. But we think we're now making progress.
We're so used to medical science being able to rescue us from almost any health situation. And I guess we've been spoiled in that the age of survival for babies has crept backwards and backwards. And you do hear of 23-weekers making it through. But there's really only so much you can do once that little baby's out of the womb, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. The answer to this question is prevention. And that's prevention of preterm birth, working out how to safely keep a baby in till term. That is the answer. It is not forever trying to lower the age at which babies can survive after birth, though of course that work remains important. But the ultimate goal is prevention, and that's what we've been working on in Western Australia for 25, 30 years. And we and others in the world have now accumulated enough knowledge such that we can now apply this clinically.
What do you think the clue is to these babies arriving so early?
Well, it's multifactorial. So there are many paths to early birth. It's no single one disease or syndrome. It's a multitude of things. But we've put together in Western Australia a package of 6 interventions, which we think is the right package, which if applied to a geographical region in a very intensive manner, should lower the rate of preterm birth.
Okay, well, look, let's go through the 6.
Well, the first and the most important is prevention of the very early preterm birth. So these are the births in the 25, 26, 27 weeks, etc. These are the ones we really want to prevent. And we now know that if you measure the length of the cervix with ultrasound at the time women have their 18-week anatomy scan, the length of the cervix is a very strong predictor of when you will deliver. So if your cervix is shortened in that mid part of pregnancy, you are at very high risk of delivering early. And if your cervix is long, your chance of delivering a term is very high. So we are now rolled out across Western Australia routine measurement of the length of the cervix when women have their mid-pregnancy scan, which in Australia is the standard scan. It's called the 18-week anatomy scan. We do it at 18 or 19 weeks. We now measure the length of the cervix.
That's amazing. How does that little bit of anatomy work to keep babies in place?
Well, there are several things that can go wrong with the cervix, but the one that we're looking for in these cases is where there's activity of the uterus, the woman is unaware of it, there are no symptoms, there's nothing out of the ordinary for her, but her cervix starts getting taken up and is shortened. So it remains closed, but it's shortened when you measure it by ultrasound. And the reason we want to know that is that if we then prescribe for women in this situation a very simple treatment, it's vaginal progesterone pessaries. That's just a natural hormone of pregnancy put into a vaginal pessary, one each evening until 36 weeks, that halves the rate of preterm birth.
And that just seems like such a simple intervention.
It's been known for 40 or 50 years that progesterone is the natural hormone of pregnancy which maintains a quiet uterus, but we didn't know who to give it to. We now know who to give it to. We give it to women with a short cervix. And so in Western Australia, we've rolled this out across the state. It's not a simple package. We have to make sure that the ultrasound measurements are done just right. We have to make sure that the healthcare practitioners all understand what to do with the results. And we need to make sure that the women in Western Australia understand that this measurement is being done and how important it is to act if the measurement is shortened.
So your cervix is the number one indicator. What are the other five that you're looking for?
Well, the second thing is we can stitch the cervix. We can stitch it closed. And that was invented by an Indian guy called Shirodker in about 1947. But again, we haven't known who to give it to, who to do that on. And now that we're measuring the length of the cervix, we've got a much better understanding of when that procedure should be done. So if the cervix shortens very severely in mid-pregnancy, we will put a stitch in as well. So they are the two interventions that are very highly effective in preventing the very early preterm birth. And that's what we've put investing a lot of energy in Western Australia, to make sure that's rolled out across the state in a totally effective manner.
How far along are you with bringing in these interventions? I mean, is this just at the paper stage, or are you actually moving into putting it into clinics?
Oh, yeah. So this follows on from about 25 years worth of focused research. And I've been saying for 24 years or 23 years that we don't have enough knowledge to introduce a statewide program. Well, about 2 years ago, it was evident we do have enough knowledge. So we then designed our intervention package and designed this program. We launched it on November the 17th last year, which is about 8 months ago. November 17th is World Prematurity Day. And we started a dedicated clinic at that time and rolled out our statewide outreach education program and our public health program. So we've been running this now for 7 or 8 months, and early indications are that we're having a positive effect.
Well, that's what I was going to say. 7 or 8 months, it might almost be soon enough to notice a drop in premature births.
Well, it's too early for us to be sure.
But it's a bit premature.
It is a bit premature, yeah. So one of the other interventions is to start a dedicated clinic. We started our clinic in November, and we were given 6 months trial funding from the Minister for Health, and following which they would look very carefully at the outcomes of women having attended the clinic. And the outcomes were, you know, very good, and the Minister has recently announced ongoing funding for the clinic. So a dedicated clinic is in its own right will not lower the rate of preterm birth across a state, because, you know, we can only see a certain number of women. In Western Australia, we have 33,000 births each year, 2,800 preterm births. One clinic in the central hospital is not on its own going to lower the rate. But it is a very important point of referral for women at very high risk. And we see women for one, two or three visits. We usually measure their cervix and do an ultrasound at each visit, and then we send women back to their usual healthcare provider with a treatment plan.
If you have had a pregnancy loss or a very preterm delivery, does that mean that your consequent pregnancies are likely to also be preterm?
oh yeah, it's a very strong predictor of being of a future preterm birth. And many women have got very complicated medical conditions that predispose them to preterm birth. So for many women, especially if they've had recurrent preterm births or pregnancy losses, they need full medical workup. They may have some underlying medical condition which we can treat. So there are many paths to preterm birth, and we're trying to tackle as many of them as we can at the same time. So the next one is prevention of non-medically indicated late preterm birth. Okay, so what that horrible phrase means, and I'll say it again, non-medically indicated late preterm birth. That means pulling babies out too early. So this is medical intervention where there's no reason to deliver babies early. So we were taught by our forefathers that term birth is 37 weeks onwards, and it's not right. A baby at 37 weeks is not fully mature, and we know that babies born 36 weeks, 37 weeks, etc., have got an increased risk of many problems, but the ones that we've now got the best recent evidence on is school age problems, so learning difficulties and behavioural difficulties at school age. So it's been shown in many overseas countries, and we showed it here in Western Australia in our big pregnancy cohort study called the RAIN study. So babies born early, if there's a reason to deliver a baby early to save its life or for the health of the mother, so be it. That's fine. But if there's no reason to be delivered early, if it's a social reason or the fly-in, fly-out workers, as the case may be here, or the woman doesn't want to be pregnant anymore, those reasons are not good enough. So now we have as our statewide rule that no baby should be delivered until at least 38 and a bit weeks of pregnancy, and preferably 39 weeks. So that is that will make a big difference to large numbers of preterm births, because there are a lot of babies in that late age group.
How fascinating. I just can't imagine anybody wanting to risk the health or the future health of their child by having a baby early.
Well, it happens. We didn't initiate that. We weren't the first people to initiate intervention in this regard. In the United States, this has been in for a few years. They observed a very marked increase in late preterm birth. So women, late preterm and early term, so these are 35, 36, 37 weeks, and they found very strong evidence of harm to a large proportion of the children. And so they've introduced across many parts of the United States blanket rules that you cannot deliver babies until 39 weeks unless there's a strong medical reason.
I've got a bit of a curveball to throw in here, because when I was at the obstetrician, to me that the calculation of due date seemed really arbitrary. Do you think that the number of weeks of a baby's gestation can actually be measured really accurately for women who just get pregnant, not through IVF?
Well, you're describing a gestational wheel, and we still have them in our offices, but yes. our gestational age determination is now done by the computer in our ultrasound machine. So we put in the woman's name, her number, and then the due date or her last menstrual period, and then the machine takes the measurements of the baby, and that's how we calculate it. It's done by computer now.
Okay. Well, I'm very pleased to hear that. It did seem terribly old-fashioned, but, you know, women can still have a menstrual cycle whilst they're pregnant, or, you know, the dates can become confusing. It is sometimes hard to tell that you're pregnant.
Well, Australia is, you know, a very, very sophisticated medical environment spread across almost our entire community. So, you know, the vast majority of Australian women will now have early ultrasound. So almost more than any other place on earth, we have better understanding of the true age of a pregnancy. Oh, well, the next is smoking. Smoking is very important, and this is the second last intervention. So reducing smoking is very important. Smoking is a very significant risk factor for preterm birth, and smoking rates have fallen dramatically in our overall population as a result of very effective tobacco control programs. In Western Australia, the rate of smoking overall has now fallen to about 12-13% during pregnancy, down from 40% or so a few decades ago. However, in Aboriginal West Australian women, the rate remains at 50%. So over the last 20-30 years, the graph showing this massive decline in smoking in pregnancy has only occurred in the non-Aboriginal population. So we have got a lot of work to do working out how to lower smoking rates amongst Aboriginal women, because it is a very significant risk factor for preterm birth. And the preterm birth rate for Aboriginal women in Western Australia is about 15%. It's almost double that of the general community. And smoking is one of the big risk factors causing it.
And from what I understand, that smoking narrows the blood vessels that transfer blood to the baby through the placenta. Is that right?
Well, well done, Penny. smoking does many things. I mean, that you've described the effect of nicotine, which constricts blood vessels. But there are 4,000 chemically active compounds in cigarette smoke. And we only know the actions of some of them. Nicotine, carbon monoxide, et cetera, which lowers blood oxygen carriage. So it's doing many, many things and affecting the placental function and the tendency for the placenta to lift off, bleed underneath itself and put a woman into preterm labour is one of the many pathways to preterm birth from smoking. Many of the other pathways we don't understand. We just know it's very heavily associated.
So, Professor Newnham, then we've got the last indicator.
The last in our package of interventions is IVF. So IVF, if done poorly, if multiple eggs are put back, causing multiple pregnancies, will cause a lot of preterm birth. And it's not just one baby, it's more than one baby. But Australia actually is very good with IVF. Our single egg return rate's actually very high. So we're constantly vigilant about it. We've not introduced anything new in Western Australia in that regard because we had a very active program. But that's definitely number six on our list. We've got to work out even better ways of making sure that women do not get multiple pregnancies out of IVF. One of the things women can do is not have their babies too late, because that increases the risk for them to need assisted reproduction, increases their multiple pregnancy rate and their preterm birth rate. So having your babies in an ideal age range is in the hands of a woman and her partner, but it's something we would encourage.
One of the reasons I understand that you've been able to collect this information and have such a strong program of intervention has been based largely on the fact that Perth is a very isolated community from the rest of Australia. In a sense, you've got this ideal experimental population at your fingertips.
That's right. And Perth's the most isolated mainland capital city in the world. And that is our great weakness. And at the heart of your greatest weakness will always be found your greatest strength. Our greatest strength is we have an isolated population. We have desert on one side and ocean on the other side. All of Western Australia's obstetrics is run out of a single tertiary level obstetric centre in Perth, that's King Edward. All preterm births have flown into us day and night and have done so for many decades. So we have one hospital providing the academic base for pregnancy care in Western Australia. And we also have extremely good computerisation. So the West Australian community is very heavily computerised, and our databases can all be linked. So we're in a very good position to do this. So Western Australia is the ideal place for this intervention to be run. We've been very active in this field at a research level for many decades, and we're doing our best. So it's really got three major arms to it. It's got the new clinic, but it's also got a public health campaign, and it's got an outreach campaign to make sure that every healthcare practitioner in Western Australia is aware of these new guidelines. So I'm in the process of doing a lap of Western Australia. I've done half of Western Australia so far this year. And I go out with a team of three other people, a young obstetrician, a woman called Suzanne Mahari, our chief sonographer and our chief midwife. And we do two-hour workshops in country towns and around the peripheries of Perth, etc., making sure that everybody knows exactly what this package of interventions is all about and how incredibly important it is. It's going extremely well, and I must say, I mean, it's just a fantastic thing to do. I've never had such a good time, Penny. It's just what a person in my position should be doing.
And it's wonderful to think that you are potentially having a difference. I mean, when are you going to be able to say that these six interventions have made a difference to the rate of preterm births in Western Australia?
Well, I'm not entirely sure. We think we will have absolute linked databases which will give us major assurance as to which ones have come down and through which intervention in about 18 months. But there's enough evidence already for the Minister for Health to provide ongoing funding for the clinical side of this initiative. So it looks like we're having an effect, and we're going to have to wait and see how things go. I mean, on an anecdotal basis, we're definitely having an effect. We're seeing a lot of women now found to have a short cervix going on to progesterone, or if it's even shorter, needing a stitch in their cervix, who are going to term. So on an anecdotal basis, we think this is working. There's major excitement and enthusiasm here across Western Australia for this initiative. We're just going to have to wait and see.
It would also be very gratifying, because I know so many women who do give birth to preterm babies carry with them such a terrible guilt that perhaps it was something that they have done. But it really seems that apart from the smoking, they're really it is out of an individual woman's hands.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's not within her hands. She's not able to know that this is brewing. This is required, you know, many decades of research. I think you were going to ask me earlier on, why has it taken the world of obstetrics so long to work this out? The answer is that we're dealing with a patient who's inside another patient, and the interactions are very complicated. So we've got two patients to deal with a highly complicated interaction between the two of them. So this is the world of life before birth is really one of the last unexplored frontiers on Earth. But we're now gradually unravelling it piece by piece and discovering each little piece of this continent before birth. And but it's taken this amount of time for us to have interventions that are going to work. We've got a whole lot more waiting in the wings. We have a lot of research going, looking at better ways of treating infection very early in pregnancy, as do others. You know, you've got a lot of very good research in this field going on in Melbourne. Melbourne has been a great centre for fetal physiology and fetal medicine for a very long time. But fortunately, we're all good friends. We're all linked. We all know what each other's doing, and we're all moving forwards together.
Because, of course, this podcast goes nationally and internationally as well. If a woman has had a miscarriage before or a preterm birth, and it's something that she can't imagine why she wouldn't be keen to avoid it for a subsequent pregnancy, I mean, what advice would you give? Is there a message that you can take to your obstetrician? Can you request an ultrasound of your cervix? Is that the best?
Well, in Western Australia now, your 18-week scan includes measurement of your cervix. If I were a woman going in to have my 18-week scan, I would ask to have my cervix measured, and while you're there, have a look at my baby as well. The first thing I'd want to know is the length of my cervix. So that's available across our state and in many parts of Victoria. That is done routinely as well. If a woman wants to know more about this, she can go to our website, which is called, and our program's called thewhole9months.com.au. So if you hashtag whole9months.com.au or go to www.thewhole9months.com.au, you can read all about it, including the scientific justification for each of the interventions and the literature that we've put out in Western Australia around the whole program.
Professor John Newnham, Professor of Obstetrics at the University of Western Australia. And I hope very soon that Baby Talk will be reporting that this research has solved the issue of premature births in Australia. Now, if you've just discovered the Baby Talk podcast, you might be surprised to know that we produce a weekly podcast about babies and their parents. And as well as the podcast, we're on Facebook as well, where you can tap into more stories, information and fun stuff that we post daily. Do like Baby Talk on Facebook if you can, and join us to let friends know that we exist. You can subscribe to Baby Talk's weekly podcast on iTunes and catch up with us on the ABC Radio app as well, which is particularly good if you're on the move move and you have a few minutes to learn something new about babies and their parents. Baby Talk will find us on your web browser or ABC Baby Talk if you're having any trouble. I'm Penny Johnston and I will see you next time on Baby Talk.
Baby Talk.